Hello, everyone. This is Janine Stanley, and I'd like to bring to you a couple interviews that I did from the American Council of the Blind of Ohio's convention on Friday, November the 8th. I did a little tour around the exhibit hall, and historically, the ACB of Ohio convention has been a pretty good place to see lots of technology and lots of different kinds of products. This convention was particularly good, I thought, in the area of the exhibit hall because we had a great deal of variety in the types of exhibits that we had. The first interview that I'm going to share with you is with Jim Sullivan of Humanware, and one of the things that we're going to look at, we didn't have time to look at as many things as I wanted to. I wanted to take a look at the Braille Star, but I didn't get to see that this time around. But I did get to look at the ScanR, and as you'll see in the interview, this is a very interesting device, and I really do think it has its place in technology that can be provided to blind people. We are here at the ACB of Ohio convention in the exhibit hall, and I'm talking with Jim Sullivan and Kim Casey from Humanware, and we're looking at a new product that I had not seen yet, and it is called the ScanR. It is a computer and a scanner, and as I'm standing here in front of it, it measures about, what would you say, Jim, about probably...
I'd say probably about 16, 17 inches,
yeah.
Probably by about 14 inches, maybe 20 inches by 14
yeah.
inches.
Yeah, and probably about 4 inches thick, 6 inches thick.
You got it.
Yeah, somewhere in there. The front is sort of slanted. It has a scanning bed that is a letter size scanner. Let's go over the buttons we have on the front from the far left.
That's on off.
Okay, then we've got a jack here, which looks like it might be
for headphones.
Ah, okay.
Or speakers.
Then we have two knobs.
Top one would be volume, the bottom one would be speed.
Okay. And next to that we have one button, and these buttons are very large. I mean, you can't miss them, and they're recessed, so, you know, they're very easy to recognize.
They each have their own distinct shape, too.
Oh, I hadn't noticed that. Oh, you're right, they do. The first one is sort of a sideways triangle, and it is the scan button,
uh-huh.
Correct? Then the big round one is the read button.
Right.
And then we have two, one on top of the other, and they're triangular shape, up and down arrows. And those are?
For navigating through documents and menus.
Okay. And then we have a big square button on the far right.
And that basically will bring you into the text area or bring you into the menu.
Let's scan something.
Actually, let's do this.
Okay.
We have an open document right now that we just scanned. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into our, we're going to see where we're at. I think we're actually in the menu, but let's just hit that key to find out where we're at.
Okay.
Text window.
Okay, so we want to go to the menu. So we're going to hit that a second time.
Menu.
And now we're going to use our down arrow, and we're going to go to new document.
New document.
And now we're going to use our enter key, which is also the round read key when we're in a menu.
The text has been changed. Do you want to save the text?
So it's asking us a question. We're going to use our down arrow key and go to the no item.
No.
And then we're going to select enter again.
A new empty document has been created. Text window.
So now we're ready to scan.
Go back over to this button on the left, right beside the two knobs, and we'll hit scan. Can you tell us a little bit about the price of this as we're scanning the book?
Right. The price is $32.99 for Braille Note and Voice Note users. Not only do you get the scanner and the program itself, but you also get the active synchronization software built in. So anything that you scan, you can then dump into your Braille Note and read, or your Voice Note and read on the fly.
Excellent.
So you have a price point of $32.99.
We heard one tone at the beginning when we hit the scan button. We just heard another tone, which meant that it was done scanning, and a final tone, which means that it's ready to read.
Round kinlet regis satrapa.
Now, this is a book about
identification.
So, I'm going to hit the up and down keys here, so you can see how responsive.
Voice.
We're going down.
Behavior.
We're going down by paragraph.
Habitat.
And if I weren't...
Natural food.
If I didn't do anything, it's just going to keep reading.
Insects pluck from the needles and cones of spruces while the bird hovers in midair.
Janine, can I give you a brief description of the actual page itself?
The gold and brown kinglet attaches a hand
into two sections. We're talking about two birds. So you have the gold crown kinglet on the top, and the bottom one is the ruby crown kinglet. And those are the pages divided in half by an actual line, and there are two columns for each half. On the top half there are two columns, and on the bottom half there are two columns. So it actually did a very good job of recognizing where those columns are, and as columns as well as the page divisions.
Now, what happens if I want to do pause or stop?
We just would hit the read key to have it stop.
Okay, let's see. There we go. All right. And then to start it again, we'll hit the read key again.
They come forsooth, offered in the wooded area.
Let's say we want to save this. This is a pretty nifty feature. Voice recognition to save the file.
We're going
to
hit the menu key.
Okay.
Menu.
And now we're going to go down to save a document.
Okay. And we go down with our up and down arrows.
Open document.
Oops.
Save document.
So that's what we want to do. So now we'll hit our enter key.
Okay.
Save document. Start speech input.
And now we need to hit our enter key one more time when we're ready to speak. And
okay.
After we hear the tone, we can speak the file name. Is that going to be you or me?
I think I'll do it this time.
Start speech input after the signal.
Page one.
Go ahead and hit the enter key again. Hope I actually did it for you.
Page one. Go ahead and hit the enter key again.
There we are.
Confirm saving.
Okay, and then if you hit the enter key, that'll confirm, and you'll have saved the document.
The document has been saved.
There you
text window.
All right. Now, how portable is this? How heavy are we talking about here? I'm picking it up as we speak. It's a little heavy, but...
It's several pounds. It's not something that you're going to be throwing into your bag and taking from home to work and from work to home, or even from the dorm into the library and from the library back to the dorm, although that is possible. But although it is not what you would call large, it is also not something that I would call portable either.
When you are downloading files with the active link to the Braille note, exactly what kind of a file are you going to get? Are you going to get the voice file in this lovely voice that we've got?
No. What ends up happening, number one, is when you go to save the document, ActiveSync is always running. It'll detect your Braille note, so you go to your Braille note and say, connect to ActiveSync. When you go to save the file, it'll also ask you if you want to save it to your Braille note.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say yes, it will dump it into your Braille note into a particular folder, and it will assign it a number. And the number is like in the billions. And you can then go in at that time and then rename the file.
You've got the text that's been scanned in there, and then
right.
You can read it. Well, it looks like we have a crowd gathering here, so I will leave you, Jim. You are also doing GPS demos, and we will try to talk to some people who have done the GPS demo a bit later here. But good to see you again, and I am sure we will be hearing more about the Scanr.
Thank you very much.
As you can hear from the interview, the Scanr is a very interesting product. I can see the practicality in it for, say, a library or a student center, you know, maybe a disability services area of a university or high school or elementary school, even for that matter. There were a couple of things that I didn't like about the device. The primary one being that the scanning bed is fairly small. It's only 8.5 inches wide. I thought it looked like it was 8.5 by 14, but they said it was only 8.5 by 10. And it does not have a book edge, which, if you're going to be scanning books, I would think would be very important. However, it looked like, and we scanned several pages to test this out before we did the interview, but it looked like it did a fairly good job of picking up that rounded area, you know, where the spine of the book is, so you don't have to break the book apart. Otherwise, it looks like the perfect standalone scanner for someone who would want something like that. Our next interview is with Erwin Hott, a familiar name to many of you, and we're going to be talking to Erwin today a little bit about the LapTalk. And first, I wanted to give you all my impressions of the LapTalk for what it's worth. I thought when I first heard about the LapTalk that this was going to be another one of those fabulous note takers that isn't compatible with anything else, and it was going to be using a strange version of Windows that didn't work with any other products. And to say that I was pleasantly surprised by the LapTalk is a gross understatement. I was very impressed with this little laptop computer. I particularly like the fact that it has a multi-channel sound card. The version of the laptop that Irwin had at the convention is an older version, so there have been some significant revisions to it as far as speed and amount of memory and amount of hard drive space. And there may be some other revisions that Irwin didn't know about yet, but I think it's a very viable product, and I was very impressed with it and with the case that came with it and all of the accessories, and I was glad that I got to see it. It was probably one of the highlights of my convention experience. We're also going to talk to Irwin about the GPS tours that Humanware conducted using their GPS product with the Braille Note, and Irwin is going to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll hear about a new product that Universal Low Vision Aids is carrying to help people learn Braille. I am here with Irwin Hott at the Universal Low Vision booth, and we are looking right now at the LapTalk.
And I thought it's about fair time that we have a computer without a monitor for all the short-sighted people. So
exactly.
What you've got in the, across the back here is where the monitor used to was. And then you've got
round bar. We have
and
speakers.
There's the power button, so just push that and hold
okay.
it on for
Oops,
a second.
Got to hold it down, okay.
And then you've got some LEDs and a network button, and I'm not sure what that does.
Okay.
It's essentially a laptop-style keyboard.
It looks very much like a laptop. In fact, it looks like my Dell laptop, actually. We have the laptop-style keyboard. We have our arrow keys, and then down below, we have the touch screen for the mouse.
Yeah,
with
which is disabled.
And I see here we have on the left side, as it's facing you, a disk drive. And on the right
and
side...
And the right side is the CD-ROM.
Oh, excellent.
And
so you have capability for both.
Yeah, and the PCMCIA slot.
How much are we talking cost for the laptop?
This is, I believe it's running either $18.95 or $19.95.
And is it what operating system is it running?
It's Windows XP Home. And actually, the newer model has a lot more features than this does. It has, this is, I think, a 1 gig processor. And the new one is, I think, like a 1.7. It has 256 memory. And I think a 20 gig hard drive. The newer one, I think, is bigger.
What's the sound card in there?
It is a multi-channel sound card, but
excellent.
I don't know specifically which one it is. Okay, so Windowize is up.
Okay.
So now you can tab through the system tray and desktop and so forth.
Okay, well, let's just do that.
Taskbar button, Windowize. Windowize. Side tray button. Desktop. List view. My documents, one of 13 most selected items.
It comes with a suite of word processing programs, which can be upgraded to the Word 2000. They are offering now as an option, well, there are actually several options that are being offered now. This is from Beyond Sight. Universal is selling it. You can get a open book and a scanner, USB scanner, for like $6.95 as an option. And they also have a desktop version, which is essentially a desktop computer, again, without a monitor. Oh, this does have a 56K modem and a network card. And same thing for the desktop model. And it is, I believe, till the end of the year, $9.95.
Ah.
Again, with Windowize. It's a bundled package of the screen reader. So what you get, and it's true, you get with a lot of laptops, you get a recover set of disks.
What kind of a case comes with this? Because when we're talking laptop, you know, we're talking fragile.
Okay, this is the case.
This is much smaller than my laptop case.
Right, you can't put a whole lot of extra stuff in there.
Which is probably for the better, actually.
Yeah, it has in it now the power supply. It comes with an 18-key keypad, which is really nice.
Yes, I would think so. And I'm going to get in here and I'm going to take a look at, if you don't mind me rummaging through your stuff here, taking a look at the keypad, which looks suspiciously like my Dell 18-key keypad. And the power supply is actually not very obnoxious. Some of the power supplies are really huge. This one is probably about 8 inches long and about maybe 3 inches wide and is not very heavy at all. And those two things go in a front pouch that is about the size of, I'd say a Type and Speak, maybe a little smaller. And then we open the case here. This is all the standard padding and stuff. We open the case, and we've got the area that is just big enough to hold the laptop, and we've got the requisite pockets and stuff here. Nice case.
Yeah, and in the back of the case, there's a pocket where I have the recovered disk and the print manual, such as it is. Now, one of the things I did was I put the I took this manual on cassette and put it on the machine as an MP3.
Here you go. So we could actually play things on the road. We could listen to internet radio with this.
I think it needs, even if it's one of those flexible membrane covers, something to cover the keyboard, especially if you have dogs or cats. Because I know I had the kitty climbing around on it a couple times at home. And cat hair and keyboards don't go too well.
Not usually.
There are a few other minor things that I'd like to see it have. And the new model may have some of those changes.
Now, you have been on one of the GPS tours, correct?
Yes.
Tell me about the tour. What was it like? And what did you think of the tour?
Well, what they had apparently done a tour yesterday down to Tuttle Park. And so that was what was actually set up in the Braille Note, was the essentially that tour. So we started out from the hotel, and we set it so that it would tell us every 10 seconds where we were. So we could go along, and it would tell us what direction we were going. You could either set it to tell us by clock settings or by direction. So either, 3 o'clock, or east, or west, or however you wanted to set it up. When you got close to the point, that there were like 5 waypoints between the hotel and Tuttle Park. You could hit, I think it was L, to go to the next waypoint, and then it would give you directions. That it was, 297 feet ahead at 3 o'clock, or whatever it would be. You could do an S to find out the speed of the car. They'd also set up a tour for walking, but we went ahead and did the car tour. So it was pretty neat. You could also interrogate it as to how many satellites the GPS system was seeing. And as a matter of fact, if the coverage was poor, 3 satellites or less maybe, then it would actually make a clicking sound to let you know that the information you were getting might not be as reliable as you would expect. So I was pretty impressed with it.
Interesting. Now, how heavy is the unit? How practical would this be to walk with?
I would guess the Braille Note was with the GPS receiver is only a few ounces.
Oh, okay.
So the Braille Note's probably close to 3 pounds, and they essentially had a case that Velcroed on the back of the unit that held the GPS receiver. Now, if you were walking, you'd probably have to rig it up on your shoulder or something, so the receiver would be able to see the satellites. You'd have to, I'm sure, take it out of the case in some way. But certainly practical. The hard part might be, and they did have some one-handed commands, the hard part might be to enter commands with one hand while you're walking, especially with a dog or a cane in the other hand. You could certainly stop at corners or driveways or something. And if you got really good at it, some of the stuff you probably could do as you were walking. Whether you would have to realistically use an external speaker or if the speaker in the unit itself would be good enough, I don't know. It was in the car, it was pretty loud, but with environmental noises, I don't know how well it would work. You might have to do the original GPS talk system for the PC did come with a little external speaker, and you might need something like that. But I was pretty impressed with it. The other product that will be here tomorrow is SAL, which is Speech Aided Learning, I think it stands for. And it's essentially to help people learn Braille. And the way it works initially is that you take a sheet of Braille paper, that there are lessons already made up, and you put that on the device. It reads a barcode, and then it has the lessons associated with the Braille on the page stored on either a disc, 3.5-inch disc, or I think you can store them on a compact flash card. So, for example, there was a sheet that had the alphabet on it, and you could look at those letters, you could press the letter of the alphabet, and it would speak what that letter was. It also had a keyboard for Braille entry, but I'm not sure how that's actually used yet on that. There were some other lessons for orientation. For example, there was a page that had 6 blocks of Braille, kind of rectangular blocks of FOR signs, essentially. 3 down the left side of the page and 3 down the right side of the page. And it would have you press a certain block and tell you whether you were correct or not. There were, I think, some lessons for helping guide you straight across the line. Because for new braille readers, of course, that can be a big problem,
yes,
going straight across the line.
I remember it well.
It would also probably be good in the itinerant teacher situation where the student would be able to use it to reinforce the lessons that were taught the previous week, for example. That's the kind of thing that probably would be out of the range of most individuals to buy. It's, I think, $4,500 or $4,600. But certainly for a school system or some type of group, it might be well worth considering.
The other important piece of technology that I heard about at the ACB of Ohio convention was something that actually no one had really thought of yet. One of the vendors this year was Jeff Moyer, and he was representing Talking Signs. Now, most of us know what talking signs are and how they work. And I happen to be standing off to the side, of course, with my microphones not working, not on at the time, but he was demonstrating the talking signs to some people. And he demonstrated a feature that I think, for guide dog handlers in particular, is a pretty interesting feature of talking signs. Little background. Historically, if you work with a guide dog, using a talking sign is iffy. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And part of the reason that it doesn't work so well is that you're constantly moving that right hand with the receiver. If you have a dog who works with hand signals in any capacity, and many of the dogs now do, it's very difficult for the dog to figure out what you're doing, and it's sending a strange signal to the dog. Besides that, guide dog handlers tend to move a lot faster than cane users, and so we're moving at a pretty good clip. And being able to do the directional kinds of things with the receiver that you need to do to pinpoint a location is very difficult. Well, Jeff was doing the demonstration, and one of the things that he demonstrated is a new button. I believe it's a button. I didn't actually get to see this physically, but I'll bring you a report as soon as I do. There is a button on your receiver that you can hit, and this button is tied to an innovation that Mitsubishi put into the talking signs devices when they took over some of the product development. And what will happen when you push this button is that the transmitter will emit a beep. You're not going to hear any speech, but you are going to hear a beep. Now, for the guide dog handler, I think, at least the way I work my dog, I think this would be invaluable because you've got that beep. It's coming not from the receiver that you're moving around, but from the actual place where you want to go, so that you can then point yourself and direct your dog toward where that sound is. And I was very impressed with this. Jeff had not thought about it from the guide dog handler perspective of using that beep to really locate exactly where you want to be. Especially if a transmitter is installed over a door, you can really pattern your dog well using the beep. So that was yet another good piece of technology from the ACB of Ohio convention.